Fritz with the Humane Society of the United States, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Lady Sings the Blues, a tribute to Billie Holiday 2023. On Saturday, April 8th, from 8 p.m. to 10:45 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland. The 16th annual Billie Holiday Tribute brings together musicians of many genres to pay tribute to influential jazz singer and songwriter Billie Holiday. Performances feature Marsha Hocker, LaRonda Steele, Arietta Ward, and more. Again, that's the 16th annual Billie Holiday Tribute Night, Lady Sings the Blues, on Saturday, April 8th, from 8 p.m. to 10:45 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, by the working class, for the working class. I'm Laura Wadlin, here with my co-host, Jamie Partridge. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, Laura.
Our topic is Miletus Beverage Teamsters Ready to Strike. Our guests this evening are Brian Hawes and Vinu Mitra. Brian has worked for 7 years as a beer delivery truck driver at Miletus, and Vinu is a newbie with less than a year as a driver. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Let's start with the basics. Miletus' website says, Miletus Beverage is a fourth-generation, family-owned beverage distributor that was founded in 1935. We employ over 450 individuals and supply a diverse portfolio of beer, cider, wine, and non-alcoholic products to regional customers. We are dedicated to building strong, lasting relationships with our customers, suppliers, and communities. Want to be part of all the fun? Vinu and Brian, tell us about the fun. Describe your work and your coworkers.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a recess for adults. You know, we don't come for pay time. We come for play time at all times.
It's definitely enjoyable, but it's not something I would call fun.
Yeah, 100%. It's arduous labor, for sure.
Yeah. Describe exactly what it is that you do and what your coworkers do.
So as drivers, we're responsible for taking trucks loaded with beer products or beverage products because Miletus is diversified from beer. We take it out to on-premises and off-premises places. So if you're getting Budweiser from a Safeway on the west side and parts of the east side or Widmer, 10 Barrel. One of our drivers has taken it to that store. We also do on-premises, so many of the bars and restaurants you visit, if they have draft beer, we're also bringing in those kegs, we're bringing in those cases. Right now, we're putting in, a lot of us are putting in 9 hours a day or more, this is ramping up for spring and summer. Summer's our busiest time of the year, but it's manageable now, but it gets pretty hectic in the summertime.
And you got drivers and salespeople and warehouse people, is that right?
That's correct. We have three separate work groups that are unionized together, those three groups.
And about how many folks?
I believe the number is right around 144 total between the three working groups.
Anything else you want to add, Benu?
Also want to mention that amongst these sales and warehouse work classifications, they're also non-union workers as well. They're not a part of the contract.
Mm-hmm. So Miletus is a local family-owned company, which has been organized by the Teamsters since 1937. And some of the best things about Teamster contracts are the healthcare and pension plans, which are controlled by the union. Recently, Rob Miletus, that's the boss, has been agitating about dumping the pension plan for a 401k in return for a substantial wage increase. Why is this a bad deal, and how have your coworkers responded?
A 401k is good for savings, but all the literature that we've been exposed to shows that pensions in the long run are a better way for people to reach a retirement and to be able to afford life after work. A lot of the people that I've spoken to and that I deal with on a daily basis who have questions about these topics are very much looking to work at Miletus, knowing there's a union there and knowing that at some point they can put work down and live the rest of their life. So there is an energized body who work there who want to keep the pension, even though we've had a lot of turnover and a lot of people who are here are like Venu with less than 2 years.
Yeah, and you know, I came specifically for a union job with those benefits in mind, and to have those benefits pulled away within, yeah, like 2 years of me working here, it's a slap in the face, I feel like, not just to me, but to the more veteran workers there who have been there for years and years and years and years, or to like workers there who are just about to get vested into their pension. Our pension, you have to have 5 years in order to be vested for your pension, so fully guaranteed. So, I mean, you just consider the stakes there. Like, you know, you're right there on the cusp of getting vested, and all of a sudden, yoink, the rug is pulled from under your feet. It's a very big issue for sure.
I know I've got a pension, and it means that I'm guaranteed to the end of my life a defined benefit, you know, which actually is pegged to inflation as well. A 401k is defined contribution. That is, whatever you put in is what you get out, and when it runs out, it runs out, mm-hmm. whether you're at the end of your life or not. So it's quite a difference. And you can, and of course, it's cheaper for the company to go for the 401k, which is exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah, and it's something to note, like, that the company has tried to sell the 401k to many different workers with the promise that, like, hey, if you contribute, you know, say 11% of your paycheck into it, we'll match 11%, you know. So they're trying to make that kind of like pitch, like, we're going to offer way more than most companies do on the market with the 401k. However, the terms are nebulous. That can change at any time. And also, like, the company is paying, you know, wages on top of our wages with the pension. Like, they're paying that. We don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to contribute anything. The fact that you, like, they wanted to raise our wages and then say to us, oh, okay, we're raising your wages so that you can deduct money from your wages into your 401k. So basically, you take the financial responsibility and risk of your own retirement now. Is what they've been doing, and it hasn't been very effective.
The Miletus company has two Teamster contracts, one for the Vancouver shop and one for the Portland shop. The contracts are not lined up, that is, they expire at different times. Recently, the Vancouver shop, which is much smaller, settled a contract which kept the pension but took a weak wage package. How does that result impact the bargaining for the Portland contract?
Well, a lot of times, the last few negotiations I've been through, what happens is it's expected that Portland falls in line with the Vancouver shop. It's counterintuitive because they're a smaller shop. It's more close-knit group. They don't have the kind of volume or the kind of area that we cover. So for us to follow through with what their compensation is just doesn't fit how the operation works.
Yeah, I mean, Vancouver, the cost of living, there is a little bit, it's probably changing for sure, but it's not as difficult as, you know, trying to pay your rent, your bills, your groceries, everything here in the Portland metropolitan area, and even just like throughout the state at this point in time. And so, you know, I mean, this being the kind of flagship shop with, you know, in Portland, I think that the workers who have been here for decades, some who have been here for like 30 years, deserve more. You know, it's our labor that has you know, really helped the Miletuses, you know, pay for all their fancy golf courses and, you know, real estate ventures, and to go to the Super Bowl or NFL draft whenever they want on the company time. So, you know, I think that if they really cared about us as workers, they would increase our wages and increase contributions into our pension and more, honestly.
What they are trying to do is to find a level of compensation where they can get the majority of the workers in the shops to agree to it. They're not looking to take care of us. They're looking to get by. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like is happening with these contract negotiations.
Yeah. And of course, like all good capitalists, they're trying to pull as much money in for themselves. And when you look at the, it's pretty obvious when you look at the Miletus family, they've got a mansion up in the West Hills. Am I right?
Correct.
Yeah. At least it's a pretty visible target, right? Oh, did I say that?
We won't discuss targets or strategies at all.
Well, I just think of these the classic labor struggles, you know, where the workers march from the factory to the boss's mansion, but yeah, with pitchforks and torches, of course. Well, so the Miletus workers have not been on strike for a long time. People must be pretty agitated. What brought you all to this point?
There's been a big push recently where the employers or the employees have come to the company, you know, we're struggling out here. We're struggling to pay our bills. We're struggling to pay our rent. You know, sometimes we have to decide whether or not we have a place to live or something to eat. And a lot of these people were told, we don't have the money for it. We're sorry, we can't give you a raise. The contract we're currently operating under puts our wages almost $4.50 under what we're currently making now. So they have the money to pay us $4.50 over what the contract says, but they couldn't possibly afford a dollar extra for this family or for that family, although we are part of their family and they care. So it really seems absurd that they say that they care about their employees and then they don't care about those employees and let those quality employees go.
Yeah, there's been a lot of turnover, like Brian said, because there's been a lot of inflationary pressures. People know, and you know, the labor market for drivers is pretty tight, and there's a lot of demand for Class A CDL drivers now. So, you know, folks have just been leaving. They've just been like, screw it, I was here to fight, but you know what? I can go elsewhere, make more money, and I don't have to take this bullshit anymore. Which is very understandable. The company, you know, since I've been working there, I've talked to many drivers, many who have left, and they, you know, told me stories of like, you know, oh, the company promised me this, promised me that, and then to just, you know, turn around and just offer it to someone else. So these assurances are all false. And, you know, their words are very, very hollow. I think that, you know, that is very like apparent to most people that work there at this point in time. I don't think many people really trust the Miletuses or respect them right now.
Another beer distributor, Columbia Distributing, run by a Miletus family member, successfully busted the union a few years back. How did that happen? And do you think Rob Miletus is trying to do that with your Portland unit?
I'm not sure how the union was busted at Columbia. That was before I was a member of the union for Miletus, so I'm not sure how that happened. I do very much believe it's Rob's goal to bust the union. I think this has been a goal, at least for the last two contracts that we've negotiated that I've been actively participating in, and then this current one. I think ultimately the goal is to bust the union so they can implement evaluation-based pay raises, which we all know, if they set a standard, it's an unattainable one. So you're not getting that premium pay raise. You're just getting that bottom of the barrel raise. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely the goal, is to make it the conditions so bad that the union has to go so people can get their union dues back so they can afford to get by until the next paycheck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know much about Columbia, but I have heard about the general strike and its failure there, and then the Mount Hood beverage strike as well. I've even heard from our shop steward that during the general strike, that the owner of the company would even say, during bargaining, that what he wanted was the Miletus contract, meaning that, like, I guess the pay even back then in the defined benefit, even other like just kind of the small white paper details in our contract are just so just outdated and kind of unfair for the workers that other companies look at it and say, hey, you know what, that sounds good for us, I think the Miletuses have been setting the example I think across the industry, yeah, for a while of trying to bust the union. They've been trying and trying and trying for a long time, it seems like.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to KBOO Portland Labor Radio, and Brian Hawes and Vinu Mitra of Teamsters at Miletus Beverage, ready to strike. If you enjoyed this program and rely on it for important working class information, help out, donate to KBOO. Go to the website, kboo.fm. We are listener-supported, non-corporate community radio. That's kboo.fm, and click on the donate button. So they're up against you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In early March, you all voted to authorize an unfair labor practice strike, which is different than an economic strike. The National Labor Relations Board website says that the union charges Miletus with coercive statements, threats, promises of benefits, etc., interrogation, including polling, refusal to bargain, bad faith bargaining, including surface bargaining, direct dealing. That's the specifics of the unfair labor practice charge. So explain to our listeners the difference between an unfair labor practice strike and an economic strike, and why you're going with the former when your main beef is with Miletus is economic.
Yeah. So the distinction between an unfair labor practice strike and an economic strike, at least to us as workers, that is heartening, is that, like, during an unfair labor practice strike, we can't be replaced. It's against labor law for a company to hire replacement workers while workers are striking, because the company has been violating parts of the contract. An economic strike, though, is different. That means that we don't currently have a contract on the table. And that means that the company can then just go and hire replacements while we are striking. It doesn't really change, like, what our kind of goal is, essentially. Our goal is to have a stronger contract because the workers there deserve it, 100%. And so I think that the unfair labor practice strike that was being authorized, that was also authorized by our work group at a vote of 69-9. So it was like over 80% of the of our working group voted in to go on a ULP strike, because our own union, you know, said that they didn't recommend the strike at all, and that they had lots of evidence to support several different ULPs that they could file. Everyone was in agreement, and it actually, you know, I think it kind of worked. It scared the company a little bit. You know, originally the company, I think they said in a memo, the kid gloves are off. It was like in the, like kind of like the memo after they heard about the results, they were like, okay, you want to go out? The kid gloves are coming off, as a kind of like a threat, or like, you know, a way to intimidate us. And in three or four days, they folded. They were like, oh, we'll go back to the bargaining table. We'll accept those mediation dates. As long as you guys sign a contract extension, we really want to keep guys working, please. That worked, but I mean, ultimately, this is going to lead to a potential economic strike if the majority of our workers are still, you know, as pissed as they are, which I feel like they are.
We went with the ULP strike instead of the economic strike because they did violate the law. Their labor law is cleared. No direct dealing with the employees. They're making promises to certain workers to swing votes in their direction. Yeah. It's against the law. While our beef may be economic, nothing stops us from filing a ULP because they're breaking the law. We're not doing that. We're doing the things we're supposed to do, both in our union contract and with the federal law. We're doing what we're supposed to do, and we expect them to do the same. If they don't want to follow the rules that we both agreed to, then we go out on a ULP strike and we show them you follow the rules and you abide the contract.
So do you feel like your members are ready to strike? Do you think they can hold out long enough to knock Melitas off their high horse? And what kind of strike fund do you have?
I've been telling my shop steward and Brian, and I think Brian also kind of also echoed the sentiment that I had for a while, which is that the majority of drivers, at least for the most part, because that's who we interact with the most, sometimes warehouse workers too, but we see them a lot less often. But the majority of drivers were determined that they were not going to take a cut this time. And that, like, you know, now's a time where, you know, we actually, you know, fight back. I still feel like that is the sentiment amongst most of the drivers during this kind of like semi-cooling down period. You know, I get questions every day about like, hey, when's the next union meeting? Which when I first started working there, that was never a question anyone would ask anyone, it seemed like. So, you know, people are looking forward to union meetings. People are looking forward to, you know, when's the next time we're going to be able to like hash things out. You know, things are kind of at a different level now. Whether we, you know, whether the workers are determined to like, you know, go out on strike for as long as it takes, that is yet to be determined. But, you know, like what was discussed, you know, from our lovely hosts of the show, you know, if there's enough community support and solidarity from the labor community and from just regular everyday working people, that is going to build their confidence, and that is going to make them more resolute in their posture and their willingness to stay on the picket line. I forgot what the last question was.
I hear you all have a pretty decent strike fund.
Yeah. So we are able to draw from two strike funds. There's a national fund that offers $300 a week for Teamsters who are on strike. And then we also have the local strike fund, which is five times our union dues every week as well. So as drivers, we're looking at approximately $660 a week. It's not quite what we would make after taxes, but it's right about there. So at least for the drivers, I'm not sure what the sales reps or the warehouse workers have for their union dues. I would assume they are the same, but they may not be because there's a disparity in pay. So there's probably an adjustment for the dues, but it's 5 times your dues plus the $300. And that's every week. And it can be drawn the first day we go on strike. So there's no more having to wait 2 weeks and having to walk the line and worrying about food and groceries. It's going to get tight, but we do have support from our local, or not our local, our General Assembly. We have support from the community, and some of us have been saving up. I have money set aside to help people who might be struggling.
Yeah, same here.
I'll walk the line and I'll draw my my weekly benefit. If someone needs that money, I'm willing to give it up to them because we're a family. We're standing together to deal with this, to get what we've earned, what we've worked so hard to earn. A lot of the people I talk to, they're nervous, they're scared, and it should be foolhardy to not be nervous, but they are also ready to stand and strike if it comes to that. Nobody wants to. But if it has to be done to prove a point so that we can get what we've earned, they're ready. They're ready.
This strike has the potential to impact a lot of beer drinkers in Portland, whether they buy from taverns, convenience stores, grocery stores, or craft breweries. How can our listeners support your strike, put pressure on the company, and build community solidarity?
The best support that we can have is people coming out and just showing their support. We're on Swan Island. There's not a lot of visibility out there. So just, you know, people swinging by, stopping and say hello, you know, helping out as best they can there. And then also, Miletus's book, all the products they sell, they have it posted on their website. Switch it up for a week. Drink Coors Light, drink Rainier, drink Pabst. Guinness is good. There's always options to what Miletus offers. It's just a matter of what distributor brings that to your local tavern or bar or convenience store.
What about if there's scab drivers driving around with beer to distribute?
Well, that's where the community, I think, is going to be so key in this situation. Like, you know, as Teamsters, we have limits in what we're able to do when we picket. Most union members do. You know, like, and also, like, you know, the union, in our actual contract, we can't actually call a boycott whatsoever. It would be a violation of our contract, right? So that's not going to be something that we could ever do, and not something that I'm going to recommend anyone to do right at this time. But it's certainly effective if consumers can make informed choices when they know that workers are out on the picket line, knowing that scabs are, you know, trying to replace us and continue, you know, get operations to continue as normal. But I mean, if the community also kind of goes to the next level beyond just informed consumer decisions and says, you know what, I want to go that down that line, and I want to make it very hard and very clear for these replacement workers that this company already has workers, and that what they're doing is causing a lot of harm to the already loyal workforce that has been there for a long time. And that would be, that's the most important thing. I can't stress that enough. Like, if lots of people come out and support, then it really does improve our chances of winning.
So there are things such as flying pickets, for example, chasing after scab trucks, but also discussing the strike with the taverns or the convenience stores or whoever are the buyers about how they can support the strike or put up posters, whatever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Those are all things that we're going to be doing.
Oh, yeah.
How can our listeners keep in touch, especially if they want to get involved in solidarity actions like Jamie was describing?
Oh, yeah. They can get in touch through a link that was set up for Solidarity members if they want to support us. It is tinyurl.com/MiletusStrikeSupport. Once again, I'll say it, tinyurl.com/MiletusStrikeSupport.